Welcome back to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast featuring two lovely, sexy, intelligent, all the positive things I could ever think of. Roper.
Hey, yo, that's me.
And the conceited Hunter.
That's you.
Yep. Thanks,
hey,
buddy.
Hey, I've got something to say.
Okay.
Happy friendiversary today.
It's not our friendiversary yet.
Did we have the party on the 3rd or the 4th last year?
I could have swore it was the 4th.
Well, I'm wishing you a happy early friendiversary.
Aww, today. I'll wish you one tomorrow. Roper and I met on July 4th one year when one of my friends brought this kid over to my apartment. Not my apartment, but the house I was living at.
This
and I was like,
man,
I don't know how I feel about new people into my life.
Yeah.
And then Roper came around and then changed everything.
It did.
And now I work twice as hard.
What a year it's been.
It's been quite a year. Made a lot of good memories.
It went by pretty fast.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a little too fast for me.
A little too fast. Honestly, yeah. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Fucking pandemic.
Anyway, we got a fucking cool episode for you guys.
Yeah.
We have the beautiful band Friend Circle with an interview today. That was a lot of fun.
Nice.
We have basically that.
Yep.
And I hope you guys like Friend Circle. If you guys don't know a lot about Friend Circle,
you guys are going to like them after you hear us talk to them.
It's true. They will like them a lot. But each and every week, we do some new releases. You want to do that, Roper?
Yeah.
All right. So this week, a little slow, but we found some goldies. One of my favorite bands, Settle Your Scores, is constantly releasing new music, and they released the song The Way Things Used to Be.
Song's really good.
You like this one?
Yeah, it put me in my feels earlier.
I like it a lot. The intro had a lot of like electronic-y, like the vocals were really I don't want to say the word auto-tuned, but essentially they were like perfect vocals, and they did it on purpose to where you could like detect that it was there on purpose.
Yeah.
It's like a style thing. And I was like, not sure how I feel quite yet. And then the chorus kicked in. I'm like, yep, nope, this is Settle Your Scores. Yeah, super super big fan of Settle Your Scores. Happy that they are consistently releasing new music.
Yeah.
I feel like this is their third new song they've had.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? But their new record's going to be releasing sometime soon.
How do you feel about when bands put out like 4 singles before the album comes out?
I think 3 is a perfect number. I think 4, like let's just say you had like, I don't know, 12 to 15 songs. Like, I'm not going to be too mad.
If that.
Yeah, but like if you have like a 9 or 10 song album and you release 4 of the tracks, you know.
You're wasting like half of it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm not too upset about it. I know another band, Capstan, released their fourth single. Yeah.
That's what it made, or that's what I was thinking about. I'm like, man, we've heard damn near half that album.
It's true. I feel, when does it come out? Do you know?
It's got to be soon.
Yeah, it's got to be getting there. But I mean, like, I know a lot of people are really loving the songs.
I like the new sound.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not quite where I want it to be, but it's never been like one of those bands that I was like super
into anyway. It's a little bit different than their older sound that they had, because they were more so like guitar focused. If you had listened to the last several albums, and now it's more so of a poppier sound, which is fine.
Yeah, no, I think they're doing well with what they're doing, so I'm happy for them. What about you, Roper?
This is from a band that hasn't put out anything in about 3 years, so this is actually 4 years since 2017-ish, I think. It's a band called Ideola, I think that's how you pronounce it, and they put out a song called Counterfeit Trunk. These guys are signed with Blue Swan Records. So Blue Swan is owned by Will Swan from Dance Gavin Dance. Lead singer of this band is the touring guitar player and backup vocals for Dance Gavin Dance.
I didn't realize you liked Dance Gavin Dance.
Oh, you didn't know? You couldn't tell. I love them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. These guys are fucking great, too. They're
Super technical music.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. We're on the same page today. This is great.
Yeah, we got it figured out.
But yeah, his vocals, like, the way that I would describe him, you could feel like he's got this, like, deep way of pushing out his vocals, so you can feel it, like, coming from his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got so much build to it, and then the guitar works phenomenal. I think their guitar player is also in Stolas. I don't know if you've ever heard them, but they're, like, kind of along the same lines of, like, Dance Gavin Dance-style bands.
Yeah, they're great musicians.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't think anyone could fault them on that. It's, I honestly, I was looking at their album cover art and I was like going into a bit of a like,
haze.
I was going to say haze, but like a trip almost. Yeah. Their artwork is so,
they almost
shapes and colors.
They almost remind me, I think it is the artwork, and I associate pictures like that with the band Tool. They almost remind me of Tool, but not really.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I don't know. They're very technical like Tool is, but I like Tool, or not Tool, but I like these guys better.
Okay, that's fair. We got some other notable releases. You, Me, and Everyone We Know, like legitimately my top 10 favorite bands of all time, released a song called Drag Across Concrete, and it features Collins Regisford.
Where's he from?
He's from the band Mannequin Pussy. I don't know that band at all, though.
Isn't that like a contradiction?
A bit.
All my years of retail, they're genderless.
So you've been observing.
I've had to dress them.
Really? The mannequin. How is that?
It's a struggle.
I bet.
Because they just...
They don't seem to cooperate.
Like, putting a shirt on them, you have to, like, pop the arms off and, like, put the shirt over the like, torso of the body, and then you have to pop the arms back on. But sometimes you get the shirt caught in the socket for the arm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's annoying.
That seems like an interesting... Like, it's just nothing that I've come across. I've never... mannequins freak the fuck out of me, honestly. I don't like them.
Dude, back in the day, before they had, like, the white ones, there used to be some that were, like... Do you remember where they had, like, actual faces on them and, like, hair?
Yeah.
That shit was creepy.
Yeah, like, back in, like, the 70s, and people were like, let's tone it down a bit.
Yeah, let's just make them, like... A blank slate.
Yeah, probably not 70s now I think about it, but...
Yeah, I remember some of that from, like, when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, we should talk about the song a little bit. Yeah. It's interesting.
I haven't heard it yet.
It's kind of like... I really don't know how to describe it. It's an interesting sound. It's not something that I'm going to go back to very much, but I think that the new record that they're working on right now and releasing songs for... is going to be a very diverse record. Going to have like a bunch of stuff. So I thought I'd bring it to someone's attention. It's an interesting feel. I also picked another song. I came across them today looking at the new releases, and I was pleasantly surprised with that. They're kind of like they give me like a poppy punk vibe.
Nice.
I think kind of like New Real Friends in a way.
Ooh.
They're really good. Really happy I came across that band because I started downloading all their music. But Roper, I see you have one over here.
I do. I have a song called NPR by the band Honey Creek.
Mm.
Honey Creek's like a kind of Midwestern emo styled band. Very light pop punk, which I like a lot. So it's a nice little groove.
Yeah, it's good shit. Yeah. That's actually all our releases.
Yeah.
So again, make sure to check out the Pop Hunkers page on Reddit. They give us all this information, and there's just a nice little community to build on there. So anyway, up next, we have our interview with the band Friends Circle. I'm going to start off the interview with a little bit of their song Famous. All right, everybody, we have Friend Circle with us here currently. Friend Circle is a New Jersey pop band with hip-hop/rap influences. In 2020, they released their second full-length record, Internet Noise, and just recently dropped their infectious new tune, Complications. Welcome the vocalist/guitarist Zach and the drummer Aaron. How we feeling, guys?
Feeling good.
Doing great.
That's what we like to hear. You guys, we have some fun questions for you guys today. I feel like the best thing we can do is just start it right off. So, Roper, you want to hit us up?
Yeah, what was your guys' introduction to pop punk?
I think that differentiates between the two of us. Mine would definitely be like Blink 182 in like the early 2000s, and like the whole skate and like that skate culture where it was just like super popular. So that would be mine.
You big Sum 41 fan?
Yeah. No, I love Sum 41.
Every time I hear skate punk, I hear some. I think of Sum 41. Aaron, yeah. I'm so sorry for cutting you off. What were you saying?
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, mine was similar. Early 2000s. I think I was more into Green Day than Blink. I respect Blink and everything they've done. Green Day, Fall Out Boy from Under the Cork Tree. I remember I bought that CD, and I slowly got into like All Time Low, We the Kings, Boys Like Girls. So that's how it molded me.
Hell yeah. Under the Cork Tree is a masterpiece.
Yes.
Done so many podcasts, and we have yet to talk about Boys Like Girls. And I just got to say, they were a great band. Like that first album, so good.
They have some like crazy good songs. I don't think I've ever listened to a full record front to back from them, which is disappointing on my end. What's your recommendation, guys?
First one for sure, yeah.
That was like the soundtrack to my 2006 summer.
2006 summer. Yeah. I don't think I got into pop punk till like 2012 maybe.
Yeah.
So I feel like I missed so many good records I need to go back on.
You did.
All right, guys. What was the scene like for you when you were growing up?
Like our local scene?
Yeah.
Aaron, do you want to go first?
I think in our area, probably the mid to late 2000s, I believe. There seemed to be a hardcore scene going around. There was a nice venue called Hangar 84 that a lot of bands, kind of some well-known bands, played through that venue. And that seemed to be the strongest scene. It unfortunately seems to die down since. And there's not much left. A few good bands around the area, but that was the strongest point, like 2008, 9, 10, I would say. Strong hardcore scene.
Yeah, like that first hardcore, like neon pop punk scene. For sure. But since then, it's definitely dwindled down.
Yeah. I guess because we're from Iowa and Iowa doesn't really have a scene.
Yeah.
I can think of like one local pop punk band that lasted 2 years. And I was like, you guys did your best. You know, we're proud of this is all we got.
Well, it definitely helps that we're right next to Philly.
Yeah. Philly's scene is crazy good. I mean, you guys are pretty good friends with Goalkeeper, right?
Yeah.
Just a yeah. If someone's like, I was like, you're pretty good friends with Hunter, right? And you're like, yeah. I would be like, that's it? That's all I get?
No, we're close with them. We played a couple shows with them now. And I'm hoping we play a couple more with them once shows are full force. Cody, Mark, and Ryan, they're cool guys. We like them a lot.
No, I was going to say, I only said yeah because I wanted to start talking about future plans that haven't been announced yet. I didn't want to say too much, so I just stopped and I was like, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You should have just been like, actually, we hate those guys. Okay, well, now we have an inkling of an idea. Yeah. I kind of, because you guys did a show with them recently, or it's coming up, right? Just one show in Philly?
Yeah, it's coming up. I think it's July 31st.
All right, so what is the origin of Friend Circle?
Zach, you can start that off.
The origin of Friend Circle is meeting Aaron in a class in college. And at the time, I'd wanted to start a band because I was writing these songs. We were doing that typical first day of class, and they're like, I want everybody to, you know, say your name and like something interesting about yourself. So, of course, I said that I play guitar, and Aaron said that he plays drums, and I think a couple other Randys in the class were like, yeah, I play bass, and I play this, and the teacher was like, you guys should just start a band, haha. And I was like, little do you know, I've been looking for a drummer for, like, months now. So I linked up with him, and I think I stopped him outside of class one day, and we just started bonding over music, and I think we talked about All Time Low a little bit, and then we had our first practice, and the rest is history from there.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
That's beautiful, guys. So you met Aaron. How did the rest of the band come together?
Me and Zach were jamming for a bit, for a few months on end, and we were talking about potential bassists. Me jamming with Zach, that was the first band experience I've ever had, and I thought we sounded great to begin with. I honestly was just like, oh, let's just be a two-piece. Like, forget everything else, but... Obviously, I was wrong in the end, but we met Adam. Zach knew Adam through high school, and I knew Adam through middle school. And he was away at school at the time, but he felt like the perfect option for us. And he's super talented at the bass and amazing vocals as well. And we just both, I think I hit him up. I sent him a future demo of one of our songs. It was actually Joyride, the original Joyride.
Oh, beautiful.
And yeah, he said it sounded amazing. And then I just peppered him with questions. Yo, you want to jam with us? You want to join the band? And that's how he got in. And Dom was recruited into the band by Adam himself. So we needed an extra guitarist at the time. And I think early 2018, late 2017. And Dom added a whole nother element to the band itself.
Beautiful. So you got a three piece currently, correct?
Four piece.
Yeah. Who's the missing guy?
You just said Dom.
Dom, my bad.
It's all okay. Good.
Sorry, I missed that part.
It took us like, what, 3.5 years to have a full lineup. So it's been a while in the making for sure. And sometimes it feels like Dom just joined the band.
I feel like most bands don't really get every band member together till a few years down the line, because they switch on and off. You know, someone's like, I don't really want to travel and do all this for my life. And then you're like, all right, well, you're out. And then they have to find somebody new and consistent, you know?
Definitely.
Can you guys tell us about your first show as a band?
Do you want our first show as a two-piece, or do you want our first show as a band?
Oh, okay. Two-piece, yeah. First, then do the full band.
Okay, so our first show is a two-piece. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a coffee shop. And I think it was just like an open mic night. And Aaron and I had been practicing for, I don't know, maybe a couple of months at that point. We were like, all right, let's try the real thing. And I think we practiced our butts off, and we played in this coffee shop, literally just the two of us, with Aaron on drums, me on guitar, and singing to, I guess there's like a decent amount of people there. It wasn't like anything crazy, but that was definitely our first show as a two-piece.
How well did it go? Did you guys miss any notes?
I'm sure we did. I can't remember exactly. I know we played a few songs that have long disappeared from the history of Friend Circle. Never to be released, that were just like early. I feel like they were like chemistry builders at this point, but they'll always be there as like the starting point, I guess, of me and Aaron doing this thing together.
It'd be cool if you guys brought them back and revamped them in one way or another.
I don't even know if that could be done, but it's definitely an interesting idea.
Our four-piece show was beginning of 2018. And I believe it was at the World Cafe Live. It's in Philly. And it was honestly an amazing show. It was a lot of good bands from Philly. And I think it was one of the most jam-packed crowds we ever had. And I think that went pretty smooth. Don't you say? What did you say, Zach?
Yeah, I think a lot of our early Philly shows went well with, like, remember the Trocadero? Like our shows there usually were pretty fun. And then we played the Voltage Lounge once with our friends who are now in a band called Win By Two. Super cool guys.
Who are some of your guys' like inspirations when you sit down to write music?
Probably like when it comes to the drums, I mean, I have many idols that I've looked up to over the years. I think the most influence I've had was the drummer from Paramore. Zach Farrow. Yes, I was.
Nice. Of course.
The first time he was in the band, I know he left and then he came back. But I think that's when I was practicing nonstop, like just trying to learn my craft and all. And he was a very big influence. In regards to just music in general, my favorite bands, All Time Low, a band from the UK called You, Me at Six. Those are probably my top two that have influenced me the most.
How about you, Zach? You're pretty quiet over there.
I was just waiting for Aaron to wrap it up. So I feel like whenever I'm asked this, I always say Blink-182. So I'm going to try to think of some new ones. Of course, going along with that era, there's The Starting Line, and even like Into the Neon scene with like Cute Is What We Aim For, especially lyrically, and Mayday Parade, like A Lesson in Romantics. Dude, like that was my shit back in the day. I know that whole album front to back.
Same. We've all had a good cry.
Yes.
That album's amazing.
Are you a fan of Forever the Sickest Kids?
Not as big as I should be. I know that one song everybody knows. Whoa.
I was a big fan of them back in the day. I was.
See, they were one of my like introductions into pop punk, and I just within the year realized that they were what was called like neon pop punk. And so I was like, oh, okay. I was like starting to stream all these bands together because but then they just kind of disappeared. I still don't really know what happened to them. And then I found out they were British and my mind was really blown. So.
Sheesh.
Yeah. I had no idea they were British.
Oh, well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
All right, guys, here's a fun one. What's your favorite song that you've released and your favorite song to play live?
I would say Famous so far. I think Complications is going to top it.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Or no, I take it back. Loose Cannon. I like Loose Cannon better.
Is that one to play or is that one you released?
I would say both. Definitely both. I love the bridge in that song. Yeah.
Both? Okay. What about you, Aaron?
I think for me, my favorite that we've released was probably Loose Cannon. Which wasn't originally part of the plan, but somehow it was a single. And then the best one to play live, I think, is Famous, because I think it gets everybody singing along. And when I've heard that for the first time, I was like, wow, people actually like the song. And like just singing back to us is a great feeling, and it's happened every time we play it. So
people actually like us.
Yes.
I was gonna make a comment. Thank God they like us.
It's a great feeling. It's been years.
we're doing something right. Something at least.
I think you guys are killing it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
What's the process of recording a music video?
I think we usually get. No, the true process is I think of this convoluted, overly complicated script, and I present it to the guys, and we end up dumbing it down and making it simple, and then we start the actual process. But like I'll listen to a song a million times, and I'll be like, all right, we need like 100 extras, and we need like motorcycles and shit. And like, I just feel like the guys at this point are just like, okay, let's figure out what we're really gonna do. Aaron, how valid would you say that is?
Aaron, do you have a comment on this one?
I'm usually the one trying to calm Zach down half the time. I know like all of his ideas come from a good place of heart, and like he just wants the best thing for the band. But we also got to be realistic at the same time, and we try to hit that goal still in our music videos. We practice the hell out of each song, making sure the timing's down, because I know Dom will get on me about that. And then we've had good music videos, and some have went smoother than others, but it's always a good time filming with everyone.
I feel like the more we do them, the smoother the process gets, just like from learning and figuring out like what we want and how to do it.
Yeah, I remember the first and only music video I've ever recorded, I remember coming in with like super high expectations, you know, and our budget was free. So if that tells you anything, we put together this really shitty stage in a little venue, like just a side room of this venue, because they wouldn't let us use the main stage because it's huge. But I mean, like, we made it look pretty cool. I'm pretty impressed with what we did. But I remember one of my best friends, he was the one that provided all the camera equipment, and he was the videographer and all of this. And I gave him like a script of everything that I was like thinking we could do, which wasn't like crazy ideas or anything, but it was a little out there. And then so the day of filming, I show up and I'm like, all right, so are we gonna do the first scene first? And he's like, oh, I threw away your ideas. We're gonna do this instead.
Oh my god.
Well, It was a sloppily put together project. I think for what it is, I'm hoping I saw kind of like a, it's not currently out, but I saw a rough sketch of it or a rough like mix match of it. And I think it's going to be fine, but it was just such an interesting project, you know, especially with like such a lack of a budget.
It's kind of like devastating when all your ideas get shot down. And I'm sure Zach has felt that way about me, and it happens in everything, but, It's all about who you know in these music videos. If you have access to a venue or a building and how good your editor is, it's a long process, but it's usually worth it at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say it's better to have a music video than not have a music video.
I was going to say, it's funny you say that about having the expectations, because I mean, what else do you expect? I mean, like if you're like me, you're growing up and you're watching all these great music videos all the time on like MTV and stuff like that. And even like YouTube, once that came to fruition, you're like, damn, like that's the goal right there. And then, I mean, at least for me, I was like not even realizing the resources that these artists probably had at their fingertips as compared to like where we are based out of, like about 40 minutes away from Philly in South Jersey. So
yeah, hell yeah. No, I mean, same scenario here, you know, Iowa, we did it with literally no budget. Everything that all the equipment we had was borrowed from a friend. Like we had like an 8K camera, which I thought was cool as hell. Is it going to be 8K? No. I'm going for a 1080p, and we're going to, you know, keep our expectations so small. Here, let me ask you guys this question. How did you learn your instruments, and how long did it take to be any good at them?
Originally, I think I was forced to play piano by my parents. And after a year or two of playing that, I just wasn't catching on, and I wasn't interested in it. And I was like, oh, let me try drums. I played the snare drum in middle school for that, you know, that concert band type performances. And I loved playing that. And it's kind of funny. Guitar Hero and Rock Band were at their height at the time. And I was like, oh, let me try playing the full drum set. So I played that on Rock Band. Then it pushed me to get a full kit. And the rest is history. And I think... And as time went on playing drums, I played drum covers to Paramore, All Time Low, all those bands. And I honed my craft that way. But I think it wasn't even until like I met Zach and I had to come up with beats on my own. And I was like, well, damn, I'm doing a pretty good job at this. Like we're making good music. So I think that's when I started to like really zero in on what I'm doing.
Very nice. Zach, what about you, my man?
For me... I actually started with drums because at the time my older brother was getting guitar lessons, and my mom was like, well, do you want to try anything? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do drums. And I think like with what Aaron had in the sense of the experience with piano is what I have with drums. Like the stuff, the material they wanted me to play, I kind of wasn't interested in. And from there, when I started to get into like punk rock music, I picked up my older brother's guitar and I started fiddling around with that, even though it was like left-handed. And I was like, all right, I want to learn this plus 44 song like so bad. So I would literally just practice that riff over and over again. And eventually I ended up getting my own guitar and I had to like learn how to actually play it correctly because everything I knew was on the left. And I think the next step for me would be just tablatures and figuring out the hard way that they're not 100% correct and just kind of playing by ear and learning from there.
Oh yeah. What about for your vocals, Zach? Anything special there?
Ooh, yeah. I was like so nervous to do vocals for like all of my life actually. And then I thought about taking lessons and I was like, I don't know, like maybe I should just try it and do it first. And then like, the first time I really started singing was like the summer where Aaron and I met, like at those practice sessions. And I was like, okay, like maybe I can do this. And like, I think at the time, like when I was doing these demos, when it was just me and Aaron, I was like, okay, this is good, but I can do better. And I was like starting that process of like being very picky and trying to figure out what I could do better at the same time, like comparing myself to my artists of inspiration, like Blink-182 and stuff and All Time Low even, and just kind of pushing myself to get to that level.
Hell yeah.
I have a quick question on that. How long do you think it took you to like get comfortable with playing and singing at the same time? Cause I know when I try, my hand just stops. when I'm trying to play music and sing at the same time. I'm either thinking about one or the other.
That's a good question, actually. I've never been asked that before. I feel like it was something I always wanted to do. Like when I was saying, I picked up my brother's guitar and I was playing that plus 44 song. Like, even though I wasn't like belting out the words, I was always trying to sing to it in my head. And,
okay.
Or even just like softly to myself. But I feel like it's something I've always worked on and wanted to do. So by the time the band was around, it was, just something I kind of knew how to do.
Even I noticed it when Zach, like, I remember one time at practice, I asked him, I was like, well, who do you think's going to be doing the vocals? And Zach said, oh, I think I'm going to do it. And even like the first time we jammed together, it seemed pretty smooth sailing for Zach playing guitar and singing at the same time. I never noticed any struggles in the early stages of it. So I think he's always had that down pat from the get go.
Zach, you're getting gassed up left and right today, my man.
Aaron loves me. We're going to date after this.
You heard it here first, folks. Yep. You want him with the next question, Roper?
Yeah. So do you guys want to talk about what we should expect with your guys' upcoming releases?
Yeah, we have a upcoming single called Complications. It's our first original music since, I guess you could say, last year's album. We did release Joyride 2.0, but you guys know that it was off an older album, but this is brand new music for the first time in over a year, and we're very excited about it. We've incorporated some new elements all around, and we're releasing it through our new label, Lost Music Collective, which we signed to last year. And I think people are going to be surprised, but it's still at its core going to be that friend circle that people loved with our last album, Internet Noise. Zach, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, just to touch up on that. Yeah, a lot of the elements there's going to be stuff that you heard in Internet Noise that you're going to hear in like Complications, and you're going to be like, oh, okay, like that was done a lot better. And even like from a production standpoint, everything was like micro-analyzed, but also like it wasn't constricted. Like it was, I feel like everybody played their strengths, and we as a band collectively experimented with some new things that we thought were moving in the direction of more modern pop punk, I guess you could say. And we're kind of hoping to build ourselves into a direction where we can be foreseen as the future and not so much like, okay, this is like Blink 180 2.0. You know?
Hell yeah. Yeah, we've heard Complications. Yeah. I think it's like the next step up from your full length. I'm so excited. Are you guys planning a full length or is just some singles for now?
I think just for now, we're going to put out some singles. I mean, I would love to keep writing and making a full length. I guess you could say the full length is going to be a thing eventually, because it's not like we're going to just put out these singles and drop off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be a full length or an EP, who knows at this point, but we've definitely been working on some music as a band other than these songs that are coming out. And I just think everything is progressing, which is exciting. You know, it's good to like have that feeling that like, okay, we're still moving in that direction towards hopefully sustaining a career that we love.
That makes me happy to hear. I'm glad you guys aren't going to drop off the planet, because I'd be pretty disappointed.
Same.
Guys, that was our main questions here. Like I said earlier, we got some lightning round questions where just some fun questions. You don't have to think too hard about them. So don't stress too much. I'm going to rip it off with the first one here. What is the worst movie that you have ever seen?
I'm not even that big of a movie guy. Zach, if you could think of one before me, go right ahead.
So I got a couple. I'm not a big fan of the Halloween movies. This might get me some hate across the board. I don't care. I just think they're all boring.
I'm gonna end the call, Roper.
This one's not a Halloween movie, but my girlfriend and I watched this movie called Tusk. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, I've seen Tusk.
It's not that it was like bad, I guess, but it was just so out there. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like this whole movie.
Dude, it's such a weird movie. So I can totally understand why some people absolutely not respond well with it.
But yeah, I guess those would be mine.
Aaron, are you going to hate on horror movies?
I honestly am not a movie guy at all. So if I could do a pass on this, but
I mean, I guess.
Here, go ahead. All right. Where would you guys say the best food is in Jersey?
There's a burger place in Millville. I know Zach doesn't like it, but I sure do. And I'm gonna represent it hard.
No.
I'm gonna represent it hard. I know I'll get slack from Zach and every other member in Friend Circle, but there's a place called Jim's Lunch and they have great burgers down there. They have their own homemade sauce on it and it is delicious. And it's right in Millville, New Jersey, so that's my go-to.
Nice. Zach, why are you so upset about this answer?
So Aaron is from Millville, and I'm not from Vineland, but I live in Vineland right now. And they have this place called Outlaw's Burger Barn. And I think it's just like as a rivalry thing. I'm like, this place is so much better than Jim's Lunch. And Aaron's like, no, Jim's Lunch is so much better. And I've been to Jim's Lunch. It's good. But this place, Outlaws, I think it's just like if Guy Fieri went there, he might just like nut in his pants before he would, like, take a bite of food. Like, just say
no, he would do that to Jim's Lunch too, Zach. He would nut in his pants for Jim's Lunch.
Oh, stop it.
This is the end of Friend Circle. This is actually where they break up.
Oh, man.
Right here.
It's usually 3v1. It's usually those three guys versus me. I'm usually always by myself, it seems like, but I'll stand by Jim's Lunch till the day I die.
I feel like it's kind of like what Chick-fil-A and Cane's Chicken is for here. You either like love or hate one or the other. Do you guys have Chick-fil-A for sure, but do you know what Cane's is?
We do not. Tell us. What
disappointing.
Is it?
When you guys come to the Midwest, hit us up.
Describe it.
It's literally this is it. It's perfect chicken with really good fries, but oh, and also some bread. Which is delicious.
Like Texas toast.
Texas toast, but it's the sauce that makes it so good. And then Chick-fil-A just has like ketchup or something. And they hate gay people, I think. I don't know.
That too.
I'm sorry, that was a little much.
So
I mean, you're not wrong on that one.
So you guys are both Cane's people and not Chick-fil-A.
I am. Are you?
I like Cane's more. Chick-fil-A is a little bland for my taste.
Yeah, I've never thought it was that good.
Yeah.
I remember getting into a fight with an ex about how Chick-fil-A was trash, and we started a big fight over it. So clearly I am a Cane's supporter.
Yeah. We just got Cane's here like 2 years ago. So ever since they came to West Des Moines and the area that we're in, Altoona, everybody's about it. So
it's true. It's
very
true.
Good.
I jumped on that bandwagon fast.
I'm not too sure where the nearest Cane's would be for us, but the Chick-fil-A is always popping in Vineland. There's one in Vineland near Zach. Yeah, so
we have one Chick-fil-A, and everybody from Vineland and Millville go there at the same time.
Pretty much. Everybody loves Chick-fil-A around here.
Oh, and do you guys have Wawa's there?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I am a huge fan of Wawa. When I lived in Florida, I had one right across the street from me. But in the Midwest, they are non-existent. So every day, I think about it.
Yeah, Wawa's they're a staple around South Jersey and Philly. They're like at every corner pretty much.
Yeah.
And it is convenient as hell to hit up a Wawa real late at night.
That's Aaron's catchphrase.
Oh, and it's just so good. It's made with love, you know? All right, guys, what is your favorite band you have toured with?
We haven't actually toured yet. We had a tour planned out, but COVID, you know?
Who was your favorite people to play with at the coffee shop at the first at the first place?
I think John on the clarinet was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you want us to just do our favorite band that we've ever played with, or one of our favorites?
Go ahead and do that. I was going to say that.
Please.
I think, obviously, Goalkeeper. I could just list some. Heaven's Sake, Win by Two, which I don't think we've officially played with yet, but we do have some shows booked for September. Yeah, there's been, like, some shows that have just started happening, like, around our area right now, and they were, like, the first two. So I was out there because my buddy Mitch is in that band, and Alex as well. It's like, it's cool because like everything's just starting to come back and they're bringing that pop punk energy, and I'm looking forward to playing shows with those guys for sure.
Hell yeah. I feel like you just announced the tour secretly.
Yeah, inadvertently.
Come on, Zach. You just ruined everything.
Dude, I can't hold it in anymore. We're going on tour.
So excited.
We're going on tour.
Do you guys believe that Cranky Kong was the original Donkey Kong?
Ooh.
I don't even know how to answer that.
I read that question. Roper puts in questions like, do you believe in the heart of the cards every fucking week? And I just let it happen because most people don't know how to answer it. That's and I think it's funny.
I think Donkey Kong was the original. I think it's always been about him. So he is the OG.
Wait, is Cranky Kong the old guy?
Yeah, that's like his dad or his grandpa.
I had to Google it just so you guys don't feel left out.
I think that's his grandpa, in my opinion.
So it has to be the first one then.
I think chronologically, if you guys let me nerd out here for a second.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
He is technically the first one. Junior is the Donkey Kong. The Donkey Kong that we know now, that's his dad. And then, so he's like third generation.
It's like The Simpsons, but with Donkey Kong.
See, there you go. Yeah.
Cool.
Figure it out here.
Like, why the hell are we on this show?
It's like, we should just end this. What's your guys' favorite venue to play at, or a favorite venue that you would want to play at?
Anything with lots of people that want to see us that will be a fun experience. I don't know. Aaron and I went to a Yumi at Six show at this place. Where was that at, Aaron?
I think it's called the Underground Arts in Philly.
Yeah, that was a cool venue. That was the first time I've been there. Like, okay. The whole atmosphere was like a cave underground. I was like, this would be so fucking cool to play.
Yeah, it was like in a glow in the dark basement, I think, type venue. And you hear about all these venues in Philly like that bigger bands are playing at, and it's like, I didn't even know this was here. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But I think the my favorite venue that we've actually been a part of, I think Voltage Lounge was pretty cool because I think the setup was legit and it was like a nice big stage and there was a decent crowd there. So I would say the Voltage Lounge, which was in Philly.
I went to a venue in Florida and I walked in and it was such a cool looking venue. They had like a pit area, like small, but like kind of a medium size. And in the back there was a glass bar. And I'm like, that looks so cool. This venue is awesome. Until the first note of the guitar played and the reflective the sound bouncing off the glass bar made it sound like the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. And it was so disappointing because I went to go see Less Than Jake and I was like, this is going to be a fun time no matter what. But I was wrong. Life threw me another, you know,
right, you're lefty going to there. A ska show and you expect good times all around.
Not that night.
That glass bar ruined it. All right. So Hunter wrote down this question, but who are you more like, your mom or your dad?
Zach, you hit it first.
Oh man, I would say I think like the stereotypical answer is like I've got both of them, but like it's true. The older I get, I'm like, dude, I see my dad and I see my mom in certain areas, and I'm like the music side, I think definitely comes from my mom's side, because no, I don't think anybody in my dad's side of the family plays instruments, at least not that I know, in like our immediate family. So I guess like. In a music-related way, I guess more like my mom.
Aaron, how about you?
Well, neither side of my family, my mom or dad, play have any musical background, so I don't know where the hell that came from for me. But I think, especially now that I'm older, people say I sound and look like my dad. I talk like him, so I would go with my pop. But my mom, I do see some traits of my mom as well.
If you had to change your genre of music, what would you play?
I would probably go with like a hip hoppy type. I'm real big into that stuff. So hip hop, rap, along those lines.
Zach's thinking really hard here.
There's a lot of things I'm into. I was into Mac Miller and Wiz Khalifa for a while when that was popular. So I could see like the beat aspect of like making those like jazzy atmospheric sounding beats was always appealing to me instrumentally. If I had the knowledge to do it, I would already be doing it. So if I were not to be in Friend Circle, or maybe this can be future Friend Circle stuff. Maybe also in like a hip hop-y direction, but maybe more geared towards like big hooks, like Wiz Khalifa and Mac Miller in that sense.
Yeah, I like that answer. That's really hoping Zach would say that he wanted to do country music so he could change out his hat for a cowboy hat. He's like, actually, Toby Keith is my man. So
it's funny you say that, because I do have a hat.
Oh my hell God. Yeah.
There we go.
Puts on a straw hat. I'm thinking more Luffy from One Piece vibes, if you guys are anime nerds at all.
No idea. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I just got shot down fast. Okay, well, moving on.
All right, if you guys had all the money in the world, what would your first purchase be?
I would say a nice ass tour bus for the band.
The first Tesla tour bus ever.
Just drives itself.
Self-driving.
Yes. I like that. I'll stick with that answer. That's a good answer.
That's a good answer. You guys going to buy two tour buses? Zach, I feel like you got to buy something cool. We already got one tour bus.
A motorcycle.
Oh, okay. All right. Very cool.
Now, like, should we do a humanitarian? I was going to say, should we do like a humanitarian answer now? Like, end world hunger?
Just to look good. That's good.
Just to look good.
Yeah.
I'll put some angelic music in the background.
Yes. Yes,
please.
All right, guys, here's one of my favorite questions. Are aliens real? Are ghosts real? What are you guys' thoughts?
I've never really looked too deep into this, but I feel like there is some kind of other life form out there. I do believe in them. I don't know if I ever come across any or if we ever will, but I do believe in this world, this galaxy, universe that we're in, there's got to be something else out there. So, I yeah.
What about ghosts, though, Aaron?
I'm a stronger believer in aliens and ghosts, but I don't know if ghosts are real. I'm not too sure. I'm gonna be haunted after this, so it doesn't matter.
I'm with Aaron on the alien thing, and you know, for the simple fact, Trek 3, Venom of the State, aliens exist. Been a believer ever since. There's definitely something out there, and like there's all this evidence now being released by the Pentagon. It's like you can't mm-hmm. even say no anymore. Like it's yeah. just verified. Ghosts, I do not believe in for a few reasons. The first one is that I've never experienced anything for myself, and I feel like it is just fabrication of Hollywood and children's stories.
You guys are both going to be haunted now. So
Friend Circle is cursed after this call. Thank you guys.
We've been cursed.
I'll send a priest your way, don't worry.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, guys. Or what song is currently stuck in your head?
For me, all day I've been singing I Hope This Comes Back to Haunt You, which is funny because we're just talking about ghosts by Neck Deep.
Ooh, yeah. There you go.
How fitting.
Yeah, I was on my way to work this morning, and I was like, I just really want to hear that song. And then it's been in my head all day. Freaking love that album and that song. So
fucking great album.
Yeah, that hell yeah, so good.
I think for me is a newer song by the band The Main. They have a song called Sticky. I don't know if you guys heard of it, but that has been stuck in my head. And I think that's what the song is about, being stuck in your head. It's called Sticky. So I would say that one.
Have you heard that one, Roper?
I haven't heard it yet, but I'm definitely going to check it out. I saw that they are putting out some new music.
So. Yeah, Roper is the main fan, and I haven't really given him too much of a chance. I don't know. Every time I listen to him, I like him, but...
Yeah, they have an upcoming album, I think, in June or July, but Sticky was released, I think, 1 or 2 months ago. It's a very good song. I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that one out. I've been buying their Lovely Little Lonely album again lately, and that thing... hits so hard on every song.
That is good. It's crazy how they changed their sound over the years, because they were in that neon pop punk scene a decade ago, and how they've been able to change their sound. I give them a whole lot of credit.
I mean, they were actually able to progress and change with the times and make their own sound like band, like I love Mayday Parade, but sometimes like their song sounds like it's a lesson in romantics part, you know, whatever after, but.
I would agree wholeheartedly with that. I've liked Mayday Parade, but it does all sound the same after a while.
Well, guys, that's all the questions we have for you. I like to give a little bit of time at the end so you guys can talk about any new releases, mention your social medias, any, I don't know, upcoming tours you guys want to talk about. So, guys, go ahead. You have the floor.
Yeah, we've got our single Complications that just dropped. And, you know, we definitely have some merch along with that that's going to be dropping with it. And just keep your eyes peeled because there's more Friend Circle tunes heading your way a lot sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think Zach hit the nail on the head. Friendcircle.com is probably the place to go for all of our news and new music. So, yeah, appreciate all the support.
Is that FRNDCRCL.com or?
No, it's FRNDCRCL.
Perfect. I want to make sure everyone knows that. Is that also your guys' social media plug so they can follow you guys?
Yep. That should be all of them.
Perfect. All right, guys. All right. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to see some new music from you guys soon.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, guys.
All right, everyone. That was the band Friend Circle. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Before we go to the next segment real quick, I'm going to play their brand new song, Complications.
I wish that you would miss this when you're always on your own. I die a little on the inside when you are not by mine. Oh, the world feels so alone. The girls and the boys have their eyes on you,
watching every single little thing you do.
The past put in the past so you couldn't look better
than the picture perfect version of us together.
She's got more secrets than the sea.
Someday I swear that we can.
Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find the link to the form in our link tree on any of our social medias. Now, this week we have It Is What It Is with their song Hilt. It Is What It Is are an emerging emo band from Dallas, Texas that aren't afraid to be themselves and explore all the boundaries and corners of their signature aggressive emo pop sound that they've been pumping out since 2019. These guys are brand new, Roper.
Wow.
Since then, they have released a handful of undeniably catchy in-your-face singles that will undeniably live rent-free in your head for weeks. I'm not going to charge them, that's for sure. No. Now, the story behind the song Hilt is that it is the latest dose of the fast-paced, hard-hitting, melody-driven anthems we've come to expect from What It Is, this time centering around the themes of holding yourself accountable while also trying to maintain a healthy balance of not holding on to our shortcomings. Roper?
What?
Are you ready to listen to the song?
Let's hear it.
Roper!
Yeah.
What'd you think?
That was pretty.
Dude, those guitar tones are magical.
The drums were beautiful.
Everything was so great. The contrasting of the vocals really stood out to me.
Yeah, it's very very pretty. I loved it.
Yeah, I like the emo vibe that it gives. Yeah. It's really good. It reminds me of a certain genre, and I can't think of what it was called. Twinkly guitars, but like some gruff-ass vocals.
Are you talking about Midwestern emo?
A little bit, maybe. I'm not sure. Midwest emo generally doesn't have like too gruff of vocals all the way through, though.
I don't know. It just depends, because I think a lot of Midwestern emo is based off of guitar tones.
True, yeah.
And it doesn't really matter with the vocalist as much as it does with the guitar.
Well, I'll say this. Either way, great fucking song.
Yes.
Enjoyed the hell out of it. Make sure to check these guys out. They are called It Is What It Is, all in one word.
All one word, no spaces.
No spaces. They didn't have time for the spaces, guys.
Nope.
And neither do we. On to the next section.
And you know why?
You ruined my transition. That was so fucking good. What do you have to say?
Well, I had a pretty good joke, so.
Okay.
It is what it is.
That was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you guys would like to reach out to us at any point in your life, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next Saturday, I don't know, it just depends on your schedule. You know where we're at. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify. If you can't find any of those, you can check one of them on our link tree and it'll direct you
to all of them.
Right, to where you need to be.
To every single one of them. Also,
and that's in our hearts.
I uploaded two more episodes to YouTube. Ooh. Yeah, one of them was 3 hours long.
Oh,
was that our top five albums of 2020.
Wow, that was feels like so long ago.
It was. Man, what a long-ass video. If you guys have 3 hours, like let's just say you're at work and you're like, hey, you know what I really don't want to do? Work. This would be a great listen for you.
Listen to if you're going on a long drive, you know, you can listen to us for 3 hours. Especially, yeah. Well, I guess it's too late now because we're recording on the weekend of the 4th. But.
It's true. This is our 30th episode.
Really?
That's a bit of a milestone.
That is.
Isn't that crazy?
And it just happens to be our friendiversary on our 30th episode. Oh. Two milestones in one.
Boom, bam, bazoom.
But yeah, we're at PPES Podcast and on those social media platforms.
Roper.
Yo.
Should we hit him with a joke?
Yeah.
End the episode?
I want to hear what your joke is.
I didn't have one. I was wondering if you had one.
No, but you brought up jokes, so now you have to give me your best joke, because I'm always giving you my good jokes.
They're all dad jokes. I wouldn't say they're good. Oh, no.
Shut your fucking phone off.
Okay. All right. Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.